drafted was, is Jimmy good enough to be able to lead the Niners to a Super Bowl because they have a good team around him and all that? I don't think anybody really thought he was playing great until maybe like that Cardinals game on Halloween.
Yep.
Back on October 31st.
Yep.
I do think, based on how he played in that game and the other Cardinals game and even the Saints game, I do think it's okay to mention his name. I mean, if people are mentioning Dak Prescott's name, I think you can mention Jimmy's name. It's interesting because, you know, the first half of the year, it was really all about the Niners' defense and their running game. I think it's been a little bit more about him and the passing game since then. But the one thing I've noticed over the years when it comes to voting and awards and stuff like that is, you know, how you finish means a lot, but you got to at least be in the running at the start. You know what I mean? Like, it's right. kind of hard to go from nowhere
right.
to being a legit candidate. I actually think if he had played, you know, better at the start, or they had more numbers at the start than how he's finishing now, he'd be picking up steam. But he's kind of trying to come out of nowhere.
Hey, Ross, I was telling the guys, everybody and their mom knew when the Niners were 8-0, it was about the defense. Nobody could argue that. All of a sudden, they're dropping like flies. You know better than anybody. Right now, I told my fellas, I feel like there's a shift. And the shift is now that the Niners offense can score. Showed you they can score with anybody. I'm just wondering, when week one comes or whenever they play their first playoff game, how confident are you that they can tap back and be that dominant defense? And how concerned were you that they gave up 46 points Sunday?
Well, I thought Sean Payton called a terrific game. I thought Breeze obviously played extremely well. I don't envision many teams being able to do that against them. But I am getting concerned about the injuries, really on both sides of the ball. You know, you can only sustain so much. We know it's a war of attrition, but losing Richburg hurts along the O-line. You know, this latest news with DJ Jones is really concerning. I got to be honest with you. I didn't even really know who that was. And I'm watching the Packers game thinking, holy crap, who is that dude? He was unbelievable in that game. When we all know about Dee Ford and Bosa and Buckner and Armstead. So you combine those guys, you know, with losing an outstanding run and hit linebacker as well, like Quan Alexander, it starts to worry you a little bit. I still think, though, that the Niners are clearly the best team in the NFC. And in my mind, really, guys, the Ravens and Niners are the two best teams in football. I'm not sure it's by a little bit. I actually think it's by a decent margin. I mean, you think of whoever the next teams are, the Packers, we saw that game, the Saints, Patriots, Chiefs. I don't really care who it is. At this point, I don't want to say I'd be surprised, but to me, Niners against Ravens for the Super Bowl is a heavy, heavy favorite.
You know, Ross, it's good to have you on here, and you talk about these teams, the Ravens and the Niners, and whether or not the Niners are the best team in the NFC. I agree with you, but I still think they have a Seattle problem. Seattle matches up so well with this team, and you just got that feeling that it's going to come down to Week 17 in Seattle, a place the Niners haven't won since 2011. And you talked about the depth. You know, the Weston Richburg injury is big, tough. I remember Ben Garland came in a game Monday Night Football, gave up the sack and a fumble. Clowney goes in for the touchdown. And then the defensive depth. I mean, hamstring strains. First of all, talk about that, Ross, because you write about DJ Jones, but Richard Sherman with the grade 2 strain, hamstring strain, they say anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 months on getting right with that hammy. How much of a concern is that? Because without Sherman, man, this secondary is going to have a lot of problems.
Yeah, well, so now they're taking hits at every level. And you guys have to update me on D4, too. But now they're taking hits at every level of the defense. That's concerning. I understand the concern about the Seahawks. I happen to think that they're a decently better team than the Seahawks. And the Seahawks are taking their own hits right now, you know, with Rashad Penny now out for the year. And I haven't even looked at the Seahawks' schedule to see if they would lose a game between now and then.
Can they lose to Carolina, Ross?
Possibly. Could.
Can they lose to Carolina? In Carolina?
No, that's not going to happen. What's the next game?
Arizona.
Yeah, they probably won't. They probably won't. It might come down to that. That's amazing to me because if you look at the Seahawks, I'm not going to say they're more lucky than they are good, but, man, they've won a lot of one-score games. They've won a bunch of games by a point or two that they probably shouldn't have. Russell Wilson deserves a lot of credit for that. But I still think if it does come down to that Week 17 game, I'm all in on the Niners. I think if the Niners played the Seahawks 10 times, the Niners probably win 8. I don't think the Niners have a Seahawks problem. I think the Seahawks got them in that game.
Ross, as a former offensive lineman, you know the blocking game very well. Came up last week that the 49ers tight end George Kittle may not be a good blocker. Have you watched enough of George Kittle to kind of assess him as a blocker? And then where do you kind of have him overall among the league's tight ends?
Well, I mean, he's an awesome blocker. And I saw what you're talking about. And, you know, that's what happens when guys try to talk knowledgeably about every sport. Like, you wouldn't hear me, even though on Home and Home we talk about every sport on the radio.com app, you wouldn't see me trying to talk about, you know, what pitches Garrett Coles throws. You know what I mean?
Like,
you know, you got to stay in your lane a little bit. I know the right questions to ask, but I wouldn't say Kittle's not much of a blocker. He's the best blocking tight end in the NFL. He's the best tight end in the NFL. He's my favorite player. I love him, and I want to fight anybody, anywhere that says anything negative about him. What's crazy is that for the last 8 years, I think I retired in 08, right?
Okay.
For the last 8 years, my favorite player in the NFL has been Gronk. I love Gronk. I wish I looked like Gronk. I would never wear a shirt if I was Gronk. Like, you know, I think all offensive linemen deep down think that they kind of could have been tight end. I played a couple snaps at tight end in high school, played a little D end in college. Kittle's my guy now. I love him. I mean, any guy that's carrying three Saints while they're hanging on his face mask, and just the way he goes about it, and probably why I love him so much, and so much more than a guy like Kelsey or whoever, is because he is a blocker. Like, he does kill people. He is more than just a receiving tight end. He's proof, because so many of these guys, they don't want to do it. They don't think they have to do it. And when they do block, you can tell it's the last thing they want to be doing, and it's painful for them. Not Kittle. Kittle kind of likes it. Kittle kind of wants to kill you, and I love him for it.
See, your affinity for Kittle, I have for Emmanuel Sanders. And can you take us back when you looked at your phone or you found out or were notified that he was coming to the Niners, Ross? Could you envision it going this well? Because I was like, okay, that's a good option. But I didn't think he was going to have the impact he now has on this Niner offense with your guy Kittle, Deebo Samuel, the running backs, and Garoppolo. I mean, they're a powerhouse.
I kind of felt like it was mainly just like a depth move. And I remember looking at, you know, I do Eagles preseason TV and Eagles pregame for WIP, which is a radio.com affiliate. And I kind of thought, nah, Eagles could have gotten him, but Robbie Anderson really would have been the guy because he needed speed or whatever. That was my initial reaction. It really was. I should never doubt Kyle Shanahan with any skill position player ever. I mean, I think I probably told you guys this, but I have friends that have played either in Houston or Atlanta or the Redskins or a couple guys in Denver at every position in the Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan offense, and every guy, Eric Winston, offensive tackle, Sage Rosenfels, quarterback, every running back, Juszczyk at fullback I'm friends with, and they've all said, you know what, it's just a really good offense for my position. It's just a really good offense for a fullback. It's just a – dudes, if I know a guy at every single position on offense that says – that the Kyle Shanahan offense is just really good for their position, guess what? It's a really freaking good offense.
Right,
because
right.
Every guy at every right. position says it's the best offense they were ever in for their position. It's crazy. So as soon as they got Emmanuel Sanders, I should have known he'd be able to do this.
Right.
Even like Deebo Samuel, people had questions about him, for him to be doing what he's doing. And the big thing is, he uses all these guys perfectly. Like, he uses Mostert the way Mostert should be used, and Juszczyk, and Kittle, and Debo on the crossing patterns, run after catch stuff. And I mean, it's there's a reason you guys are one of the top two teams in football. There's a reason why you guys might win the Super Bowl, and Kyle Shanahan is a big, big part of that reason.
What about Robert Saleh? He's been getting a lot of buzz, and I know we're just talking about the defense and how they gave up 46 points to the Saints, but really that was their worst game of the season. I think the defense has been really solid. We'll see how they respond to all the injuries here coming up this week against the Falcons and then, you know, against the Rams a couple Saturdays from now, Ross. But Robert Saleh, what are you hearing about him? Because last year everybody wanted him out of the Bay Area, wanted him fired. He couldn't get the job done. Now he's a head coaching candidate. What's your thoughts on Robert Saleh? What have you heard about him?
Yeah, I think you're going to get him out of the Bay Area, and I think it's going to be because he's going to get hired as a head coach somewhere, because A, the Niners defense, even if they've dropped off a little bit, they're still considered sort of the star of that team, if you will. B, the guy looks awesome. He looks like Mr. Clean. Like, he looks awesome on the sideline, and then he gets all jacked up, all fired up. I just think that there's going to be some owner who, when his team wasn't playing a couple weeks this year, or had the late game or the 1 o'clock game or the night game and they were flipping through red zone. I mean, Robert Saleh has spent more time on the red zone in the late afternoon window than Scott Hansen and Andrew Siciliano. I mean, you see him every time the Niners are on the late game, it's Saleh. Plus, it helps when every fourth and one, the other team goes for it, and the Niners stop him, and he gets to flex and go all crazy. I think he probably will get hired. It probably depends on some of these college guys like Lincoln Riley,
right,
Matt Rhule, whether or not they're willing to come to the NFL. But I think Saleh has a real good shot.
Hey, Ross, man, I'd love to ask you about Max Hurlman, but I don't think anybody cares out here in the Bay Area. But is he legit?
He's going to end up going to Colgate or Bucknell, but most importantly, he led us to a 23-0 shutout over Berks Catholic from PA.
Well, I didn't go to Berks Catholic. I went to Holy Name, so that doesn't count.
I know, but you still claim Berks Catholic now.
When they win.
Having success. So that's what it's all about. You know, he's homegrown. Not one of these Catholic schools that's bringing in guys from everywhere. He's homegrown, why I'm missing, and we kicked your butt, Simon.
All right, Ross. Hey, man, thanks. We're looking forward to having you the rest of the season, and enjoy the rest of your week, man.
Yeah, sounds awesome. See you, dudes.
All right, that was Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Quip. Go to getquip.com/2019 and get your first refill pack for free. Catch Ross every weekday on Home and Home, his new show out now on radio.com/home, or search home on the radio.com app. Thanks again to Ross Tucker.
Ross Tucker. Not only is worried about the defensive side of the ball in regard to the injury, he worried about both sides.
Also,
win over Atlanta.
Guaranteed. Liquidate all assets, yeah, right?
Guaranteed.
Yeah. Liquidate all assets.
Run that back, Sonny.
By the way.
Don't do that to us.
Yeah, the weather.
How much charisma comes out of Why Missing Pennsylvania?
You got Ross.
I lived there.
Oh, well,
I lived there for a while.
Who else we got?
We don't really count you, Stidey.
That's
you're
enough.
Bay Area
that's
guy.
Enough for.
You're a walking thunderstorm. You know what I mean?
That's a great line. That is a great line.
Just gray clouds everywhere.
Stay away. Now, some days, yeah. Like this week, you've been a social butterfly. We like
it. Yeah, I know. It's like the sun is shining. You've had
a few. We got a separate text thread about your moods. Yeah.
I'm not in that text thread.
Yeah.
Bottom line is,
it was I was making it up, but Ponte busted
me. I know. Hey, probably does have really
there
have
is
a
no
text thread.
To get better.
I haven't got a text from Guru in weeks, man.
I just try to get better every day. That's all you can do. You can't, you know, you make mistakes and you try to learn from them. You know, and that's I'm working on myself every day. Every day.
You sound good. I like me
so,
too.
Hey, our
I'm certainly not
is
perfect.
In the
I'm
is
certainly
he here?
Not perfect.
I think he's here.
Yeah, but. You know, if you guys want to talk more about me, we can do that.
No, well, you do that anyway.
We'll wait to Saturday.
You love talking about you.
We'll wait to Saturday.
Oh, when we don't have a show.
Yeah.
I got you.
Friday 2:05.
By the way, my guy Ross basically said, "Yeah, you can bring his name up,
But he said my line.
That counts.
You got to do it from the beginning.
It's because he's
a player.
He's not afraid. He's afraid. Really.
I'm excited.
About? What are you excited?
I'm going to stick around a little later.
For what?
We got some egg rolls in the building. Lumpia.
Oh, yeah. Taylor Swift is from YMSC. Goodness gracious.
Who's that?
Right. Who's that again? That. Thank you, 610.
She's not bigger than again? Eddie House or Roy Williams. Jackie Crooks.
Yeah, okay.
Reggie Bates.
Got 7 million followers.
Mel House.
You know who we got out
Mel
here in San Francisco?
House.
Yeah, Melvin House.
You know who we got out here
in
San Francisco?
One of the best jump shots you ever seen.
Ollie
Taylor
Mattson.
Swift is an icon, world known.
But she fell off.
It's nothing bigger than
the ending matters.
Yeah, you guys know because Danny Glover from
she's
San Francisco.
27.
The rapper Eminem.
Okay, Taylor Swift is stop
He's
with Taylor
fell
Swift.
Off.
She's terrible.
Look, I want to hear
awful.
Who. I want to hear
Danny Glover, Ollie Mattson, OJ.
Yeah. Did you know he won the Heisman twice?
I knew once.
I didn't know twice.
So did Archie Griffin. Griffin won it twice.
That's a nice pool.
See, and that's the thing. You know, I'll throw a two-time Heisman. I'll say Archie Griffin, and it goes over the young fans' heads.
No, Ohio State, two-time Heisman. Right. We know about Archie. Yeah.
A lot of them.
Oh, okay.
And so.
Maybe guys in the back.
Like people. Your boy knows football.
Right,
your boy knows football. And I also know exactly what
Maya Angelou.
Tucker's talking about with Gottlieb.
We got some hitters out here in San Francisco, man.
Like I would never,
Clint Eastwood.
Like I would never say. I'll tell you what,
Joe DiMaggio.
The one thing Staley can't do is trap block. I mean, he just cannot trap block. I mean, like I would never say that.
I wouldn't want to hear it.
The point is I, you know, you look and yeah, Staley's pretty good.
Forgot all about Jerry Garcia. Being from the city, man, we got some heavy
hitters. It ain't off the top.
Got some heavy hitters, man. Don't Charles
Google, Rutherford, don't Google. Tyshawn right. Jackson,
who?
Phil Stark,
who?
Oh, my high school teammate,
who? Antonio Cooks, actually. Shout out to
who are
Cooks.
You?
He was really good.
Hey, when we come back, what do you say?
We eat.
What do you say when we come back? We touch on something that's a little sad, a little bit sad, but I think we got to do it. Think we got to do it.
Oh no!
And that'll be brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. And I think we owe it to everybody to address this subject. That's sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. Whether it's a major collision or just a scratch or a door ding, Chilton Auto Body's 11 convenient Bay Area locations are just a call or click away. Stop in or schedule an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com. That's ChiltonAutoBody.com.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, today at 5:30 with Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru.
All righty. Matt Steinmetz along with Bonte Hill. Our main man, Guru,
hey,
has left the building. He's going to go
coach up to get away. Russell. He's going to teach him how to go to the cup.
All right, he's got something, you know, taking care of the family. Yep. He's got you know, he's got going to the doctor to see his son get checked up.
Hopefully he gets cleared.
Yeah. His son, honestly, I'm serious. His son is in concussion protocol. So we wish Guru and his son nothing but the very best. 888-957-9570 is the number. And you know, we don't talk a ton of Oakland Raiders. But we're gonna have to jump in and talk about the Raiders at some point today, maybe in the 1 o'clock hour. Bonte, last Raiders game in Oakland this weekend against the Jaguars, and it feels like there's not a ton of fanfare for it, and I wonder if one of the reasons is because last year at this time we thought. They may have been playing their last game in Oakland.
Yeah, when they played that Monday night game against the Broncos, a lot of Raider fans stayed afterwards.
Right.
Chanty Raiders, don't go. You know, the team and the coaches, they go around high-fiving the Raider Nation. And we didn't know if they were going to go to Vegas, but it seemed like that was the last game at the Oakland Coliseum. And it was sad, no doubt about it. Even for a Niner fan myself, like, looking at the Raiders across the bay, it was fun to go over there. So I thought it was the last season, and we all did. But then they didn't have nowhere to go, really. You know, right. The stadium in Vegas hasn't been – it's not finished yet. It hasn't been finished built. You know, Reno, Nevada, that college is too small. You're not going to play at Sam Boyd Stadium in Las Vegas. So they came back for another year, swan song, and – really, it's just been an interesting year because they've been on. It felt like they were on the road for 3 months.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so they had the first two home games, and then boom, they're on the road for a long time. Then they come back, and it just hits you just out of nowhere where this team was in playoff contention. They've lost a couple in a row. You know, obviously the talent deficiency is starting to hit them. The injuries are starting to hit them, and here we are this Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Should have been the Broncos or the Chargers or the Chiefs, but we won't complain about that. But here we are, Steiny. Last game in Oakland.
Yeah, and again, I think at this point, it's honestly, it's less about the football team than about the fans themselves. I think this is more about the fans themselves at this point than the team. We just had Ross Tucker on NFL.com Insider, and take a listen to what he said here, Bonte, and then let me know how you feel about it.
I think you're going to get him out of the Bay Area, and I think it's going to be because he's going to get hired as a head coach somewhere because, A, the Niners' defense, even if they've dropped off a little bit, they're still considered sort of the star of that team, if you will. B, the guy looks awesome. He looks like Mr. Clean. Like, he looks awesome on the sideline, and then he gets all jacked up, all fired up. Robert Saleh has spent more time on the red zone in the late afternoon window than Scott Hansen and Andrew Siciliano. I mean, you see them every time they're on. The Niners are on the late game. It's Saleh. Plus, it helps when every fourth and one, the other team goes for it, and the Niners stop him, and he gets to flex and go all crazy. I think he probably will get hired. It probably depends on some of these college guys like Lincoln Riley, Matt Rhule, whether or not they're willing to come to the NFL. But I think Saleh has a real good shot.
What do you think?
I think he's going to get a job somewhere. But I also caution everybody because it seems like the trend has been hiring offensive coaches, offensive-minded coaches. That seems to have been the trend in the NFL. I know Vic Fangio got hired in Denver to coach the Broncos up. You know, John Harbaugh, obviously, in Baltimore is a special teams type of guy. Ron Rivera will probably get a coach. He's a defensive-minded type of coach. Sean McDermott at Buffalo, defensive-minded type of coach. But it seems like Robert Saleh, his stock is so high, and he relates to players so well. And you see the season the Niners are having that it does feel like Robert Saleh's coaching his last games with the 49ers. He would have thunk that, right?
Yeah.
This guy, everybody wanted to run him out of town a season ago, including myself, because it just looked like this defense didn't make adjustments. But, you know, taking a step back and looking at it, Steiny, all the injuries they had to deal with, the lack of depth. Don't forget, when they took over this team, Shanahan and Saleh and John Lynch, this was basically an expansion team. They've built this baby from the ground up, and Saleh's had a lot to do with it. So, you know, hearing it from Ross Tucker, we hear it from Adam Kaplan, we hear it from Mooch. The world, the NFL world is hip to who Robert Saleh is, and does seem like he's at least going to get a couple interviews as the Niners go into the playoffs.
Let me ask you this, because it is true that the defense was the signature of this team, at least first half of the season. We can agree on that. And now it seems like the offense is kind of taken over.
Right.
And I'm wondering, is the fact that the defense is maybe getting knocked down a peg or two, do you just chalk that up to injuries?
Do you think
maybe there's a little more to it with Saleh?
I think there may be a little more to it. They're playing better competition.
True.
Right? You're playing against Sean Payton, playing against the Seattle Seahawks or Russell Wilson. Cliff Kingsbury's an offensive mind. Everybody's raving about him. But you're playing against mobile quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson in that offense. We know what happened there. And I thought he made some good second-half adjustments in slowing down the Ravens. They only scored 3 points in that second half. I know they got a ton of yardage and they held on to the ball, but I thought the game plan was pretty good against that offense. So it's a little bit of both, Steiny. Injuries, it's better competition. And teams are making adjustments, man. Sean Payton's one of the best minds we've seen in the last 30 years when it comes to offense. And Robert Saleh had his work cut out for him. There was not a lot of adjustments there. Couldn't make a lot of adjustments because of the injury. So it's a little bit of both.
I think this weekend, I think we'll find out a little bit more about Saleh. Mm-hmm. They're going to go into that game maybe missing five defensive starters.
Wow.
Richard Sherman, D. Ford, D.J. Jones, Jaquiski Tart, and Kaywan Williams all look like they will not play.
Wow.
So that, I think that obviously changes things. I still think the 49ers are kind of mature enough and they get it enough. I don't see them not, I don't see them falling into this as a trap game. I really don't.
No, they know how important it is.
And I think their offense can get this one
yep.
kind of on their own, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and it, doesn't it feel like if it's one of these games where if the Niners go jump ahead to 21-0, right?
Right.
Jump all over the Falcons, it feel like the Falcons will quit. They'll just lay down and say, you know what? This season's lost. We already got our U-Haul trucks at the facility, Flowery Branch, Georgia. Dan Quinn's going to be out. It feels like if the Niners get out ahead early, the Falcons will quit. Now, you don't want to give them life, of course, and the defense is going to have to slow them down a little bit because Julio Jones is a problem. Devontae Freeman is a problem, not to quote JD. So I'm interested to see how this defense plays with all.
That's a problem.
No Sherman, no Ford. You see the snap count study for Bosa, Armstead, right. and Buckner. Don't you think fatigue is going to hit them at some point if they continue to play north of 50 to 60 snaps?
Well, I think that's a fair question. That's kind of one I'm going to throw out. 888-957-9570. Look, the 49ers are going to be without perhaps five defensive starters. And here come the Falcons. So where are you with this game? I'm still very confident that the 49ers will win this game. And I don't know about handily, but it won't be. I don't think it's going to be a one-score game. I think the 49ers are going to kind of
run the ball
maybe,
down
yeah,
the road.
Maybe win by 10, yeah. 10 to 12, 10 to 14. Something like that, but I'm interested in what Niners fans think. Do you feel like this could be a trap kind of game because of where the defense is? I just think this team is they get it right now, and they get right. how important every game is. And now it's look, they think they can win anywhere, and they've
right.
basically proven they can play with anybody anywhere, but. You want to get that home field.
Oh,
and I think that prevents you from taking the Falcons lightly.
There's no doubt you don't want to travel anymore. If you look at the Niners schedule here, they have a flight to Seattle, and then you could possibly have a flight to Miami for the Super Bowl. You can take two more flights. You can limit yourself to two more flights the rest of the NFL season, and I think that's what the Niners are looking at. And I know the fans, and I fall victim of this too, Stardy, of looking ahead, right? We're
yeah,
all looking ahead
no
to
doubt.
Week 17, Seattle. We're looking ahead to the Saturday night extravaganza against the L.A. Rams. But you can't overlook the Falcons because if you do slip up, all of a sudden you open the door back up for Seattle. You open up the door to New Orleans to have home field in the Superdome. I'm sure they don't want to go back down there to play a football game. So, yeah, I don't think they're going to take the Falcons lightly, especially with the injuries, because guys know that if they make any mistakes, if they miss any tackles or any blocks, it could be a long afternoon for the Niners. So I think the Niners will be okay, especially with the weather. The weather is supposed
right.
to be pretty nasty, and I don't think the Falcons are a good outdoor team. They're a dome team who struggles outdoors.
Ross Tucker, who had just joined us, he also talked specifically about the Seahawks, and if this game matters in the last week of the season, it could go a long way toward determining who's got to go through the gauntlet and who's got an easier road. But here's what he said when you said, do the 49ers have a Seahawks problem?
I'm not going to say they're more lucky than they are good, but, man, they've won a lot of one-score games. They've won a bunch of games by a point or two that they probably shouldn't have. Russell Wilson deserves a lot of credit for that. But I still think if it does come down to that Week 17 game, I'm all in on the Niners. I think if the Niners played the Seahawks 10 times, the Niners probably win 8. I don't think the Niners have a Seahawks problem. I think the Seahawks got him in that game.
What do you think?
We'll see. We'll see. They haven't won there since 2011. And I agree with Ross that Seattle wins these games. It started off in week one when they beat the Bengals by one, right? 21-20, had to come back. They got outplayed in that game. But that's how Seattle wins. That's just how they operate, man. They win those tight games. They know how to win those tight games. You saw the Monday night game against Minnesota. So, you know, if the Niners are tied going into that week 17 game, and they may not have Richard Sherman. They may not have D. Ford. Dealing with that crowd noise, Jimmy Garoppolo will have to try to play like an MVP in that game if they want to win. So I still think until they beat Seattle, they still have a Seattle problem because they've lost 10 of the last 11 to Seattle or 11 of the last 12 to Seattle. That, to me, is a Seahawk problem.
I'm looking at what Ross Tucker means, and I'll just go through the list. Seattle 21, Cincinnati 20. That was the opener right. You were talking about. Following week, Seahawks 28, Steelers 26. Week after that, they lost to the Saints. They beat the Cardinals pretty handily. Then they beat the Rams by a point. Mm-hmm. Then they beat the Browns by 4 points. Lost to the Ravens. Won by a touchdown over the Falcons. Beat the Buccaneers by 6.
Right.
Beat the Niners by 3.
Yep.
Eagles was by 8. By a touchdown over the Vikings.
That's what they do, man.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what they do.
So because they've been so good, and this is a stat that a lot of people put a ton of credence in, and it's the net point differential. The Seahawks are plus 20. The 49ers are plus 168. Is there any way how important is that? Or doesn't it matter at all at this point?
I don't know. It's like baseball, right? Remember a couple years ago, a lot of people were saying the A's run differential. Oh, man, it's the best in the majors. But you get those games where it just gets out of hand, right?
Yeah.
Like the Niners, they play Carolina, game got out of hand. Play Cleveland, game gets out of hand. And I think some of that is maybe teams coming to Levi Stadium, they see the 49ers and they don't believe they're real. And they get hit in the mouth and it's like, oh boy, now they're running it up. Teams know that you have to bring your A game against Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll because they still think of Seattle as one of these teams that can win a Super Bowl. That's been in the playoffs, hell, it seems like this entire decade. I mean, they've won NFC West titles. Niners haven't done it in 5-6 years. So, you know, I think teams bring their lunch pails when they play Seattle, and they know that, okay, this is a playoff-type game to where I think the Niners have caught some teams slipping. There's a little something to that.
Right.
In order to score points and put away bad teams, you want to beat bad teams, and you want to do it convincingly.
Right.
And I think that's the thing that the Niners have done. So some of that is real, and some of that I'm just like, it doesn't really matter to me.
And some of it is that Russell Wilson's clutch.
Yep.
I mean, you got to give it to him.
Captain Hundy.
And he has had more opportunity to be clutch this year than Garoppolo. And he's come through, and Garoppolo's come through. It's just that Wilson's done a little more of it. The thing is, as it relates to this bye, I'm starting to think the bye is getting more important
yep.
because the 49ers' health is getting
no
worse.
Doubt. No doubt. No doubt. How cool would it be to have Richard Sherman and D4 come back in the second round of the playoffs? Mm-hmm. That gives them like 5 weeks to get right,
right.
with the hamstrings.
Right.
Stay off your feet for 3 weeks or 4 weeks and whatnot. Go through rehab. I mean, the bye week is so important because we talk about the depth, right?
Yep.
Bosa and Buckner and Armstead playing more and more snaps. Our guy DJ Jones, now he's out.
Yeah.
You know, DeMontre Moore is out. Ronald Blair's out. Kwan's out. I mean, it feels like they just need a bye week just to reset.
Right.
And just get off their feet and get away from the game for a week because of that 3 week stretch, because of what they've gone through this season. So, yes, the bye week's important because it also leads you to an easier path to the Super Bowl.
No doubt. Let's go to Steve. Steve is in Lafayette. Hey, Steve, what do you want to talk about, buddy? How you doing, man?
Okay, can you hear me all right?
Absolutely.
Hey, I'm in my car most of the day on appointments and meetings, and I obviously miss some of the stuff you guys talk about, but I wanted to throw out something that's been rolling around in my head that, you know, maybe it's been brought up before in regards to the Warriors and trading Russell. And my thought was that, now correct me if I'm wrong, I know there's a buzz of Giannis, and maybe Steph someday getting together. If the summer comes and Giannis doesn't sign that extension that's going to be, proffered to him,
sure.
Isn't that going to kind of say that he wants out? And then wouldn't the Bucks, hopefully his agent would handle it better than Anthony Davis's, that privately he'd go, we want him traded to the Warriors. They go to the Warriors. Warriors go, we'll give you a Russell and our first pick. What do you think?
I don't know. It's Giannis Antetokounmpo. You see the way he's played?
I mean, I think if Giannis, here's the, And this is one of the things that I think where there could be a little fallout from this season. Even though we expect the Warriors to be better next year when those guys come back, if the Warriors go 16-66 and Giannis wants out of Milwaukee, I think they're going to have unbelievable offers out there. And I don't know. I mean,
like Pat Riley in Miami. You don't think they're going to be in on the sweepstakes?
I mean,
you know,
with all due respect, D'Angelo Russell isn't even close to the level of Giannis. I mean, look at what the Lakers gave up to get Anthony Davis. Two really good young players.
Lonzo and Brandon Ingram.
And
Josh Hart.
So, you know, that's one problem the Warriors have is they don't have a young player that looks like he's going to be a star.
Right.
I think Pascal's going to be fine. But
is
I don't,
that enough?
But I don't know. No. But I don't know if he's – I don't know if Pascal's an all-star player. No, here's how I'll put it. I don't think Pascal's a star. I don't know if he's an all-star player. Not sure if he's a starter in the NBA or he's a rotation player. I do think that he's one of the last two. I think he's he's either a starter or a rotation player, but I don't know that he's going to be a player that goes to multiple all-star games. And what I'm getting at is I also think that Giannis is probably going to look at a team, and if he wants out this year, that would mean they didn't win it.
Right.
I'd be surprised if they win it, and then he says, I want out. Right. So I
could pull the Kawhi Leonard, though, and say, look, I brought you guys a championship. Now I want to go on my own because
that
Kawhi gave them the one, you know, because Kawhi could have stayed in Toronto and we'd be talking about them going back to back. And he's like, you know what? I still want to go to LA. And he did it right. Giannis, he just seems like a different type of cat, right? He seems like a different type of cat to where he does want to be with one team and he's loyal to that one team. I don't know. Right now, it feels like I always thought Kevin Durant was a long shot. I had no matter who, Danny LaRue from The Athletic, and, you know, he had the numbers down. I was like, come on. And I had him on a podcast. I was like, you really believe that Kevin Durant's coming? He told me no. Straight up looking, no, he's not coming. Like, that's how I feel with Giannis. And when you look at the assets the Warriors have right now, Pascal, D'Lo, Smiley Geese just got sent back down to Santa Cruz. I have no idea why. They don't have the assets. Like, will Milwaukee want picks for the next 7 years? First-round picks for the next 7 years. Well, guess what? I don't want them because if the Warriors have Giannis, that means these picks are going to be in the 20s and not the teens. So I don't know, man. I just think Giannis is a long shot right now. Right now. I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, let me throw this one out. I don't think I did a great job of selling it the first time. But forget Giannis for a second. Let's say the Warriors are sitting with a top three pick.
Right.
And The question is, they go 16-66 and they're sitting with a number two pick. The question I have, and I think it's a hard one to answer, is if you like a young player, but you know it's going to take 2 or 3 years for the player to develop into a star.
Right.
Is that too long because you want to have a player right now to pair with Clay, Dre, and Steph next year, knowing that, let's say you trade that pick in D'Angelo Russell for a veteran, you know that in 2 or 3 years, now what are we going to do? We don't have our Kawhi Leonard, for example. We don't have the player that may take us or keep us at a really high level after Steph and those guys leave.
That's a great question.
What do you do if you're the Warriors right there?
That's a great question. And I just think back to what would the Celtics or Lakers do back in the 80s? You know, like, is a Magic Johnson or Larry Bird coming into this draft? Is there a Michael Jordan or Hakeem Olajuwon coming into this draft, entering this draft? Like, I don't know. So, first of all, you got to look at that. Are one of these guys transcendent players that could come into the NBA and ball out right away like a LeBron James or Melo or Dwayne Wade?
Right.
I don't know. And if you don't know that answer, then I think you have to flip that pick. Because you have to maximize the window that you have left with Clay, Curry, and Draymond Green. And you want to get back into the win-now sweepstakes. you may need that asset to entice to get a veteran here. So unless there's one of those type of players, a generational type of player like a Luka Doncic,
right,
then I think you flip the pick because, as you said, you want to maximize the championship window with Curry, Clay, and Draymond and get back to that mountaintop. And then when their time is done, then you flip the whole damn thing and start your rebuilding process. But I think if that player is just a fringe rookie, you know, like who's a rookie this year?
That's I was thinking Ja Morant right now. The best, let's say he's the best rookie. And let's say you get a – forget that he's a guard. Let's say next year you're able to draft a Ja Morant, a player like that.
Right.
Can you win a title next year by acquiring an impactful rookie? I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, it feels like it takes a rookie.
I'm not saying no.
Yeah, I'm not saying no, but I'm just trying to think about all the rookies in the league. Even when they play with talent, it seems like those playoff lights get a little too bright for them. You know what I'm saying? Like, even Magic Johnson, it happened in his earlier in his career, the Tragic Series in 84. You know all about that. But if he's with Steph, Clay, and Dre, maybe they could carry him to a title.
Like, it's too bad. It's actually too bad Zion is hurt.
I know.
Because then you could kind of see what the most finished product would kind of look like on a team. By the way, what's going on with him?
I hear rumors. I hear they may sit him out for the rest of the season. They may just shut him down. Wow. I heard there were setbacks. On-court activities have barely been ramped up. Like, they're a mess down there. And you know what? I think it may cost Alvin Gentry his job.
It might. I mean, if he doesn't play at all this year. I mean, it happened with Blake Griffin his rookie year. He didn't play his rookie year.
Right.
But, man, the thing about Zion is he came into the league with so much fanfare. It has been definitely a letdown.
They had him on national TV for the opening night of the season.
I know.
Pelicans have so many national television games just like the Warriors, and Zion's not going to play for a long, long time, man. I don't know what's going on down there.
All right. 888-957-9570. It's the last Oakland Raiders home game as the Oakland Raiders. Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars. We know we got a lot of Raider fans out there. How's it hitting you? How's it hitting you that the Raiders are no more after today, at least in the Bay Area?
Bye-bye.
And that's going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises.
Hear Warriors head coach Steve Kerr today at 5:30 with Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru.
All righty, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. It feels like we've struck a little nerve with D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell, who is the Warriors' starting guard, under contract for 4 years. And, I mean, to me, it seems like the real question is, do you need to see him with Steph and Clay before you, quote-unquote, make a decision on him? Or do you know right now, you know what? I think this guy's part of our future. And, in fact, as Steph winds down in 2 or 3 years, D'Angelo Russell's going to be in his mid-20s, mid to late 20s, so you can almost hand the keys over to him. Is that, A, good enough? Or do you not like what you see already and you don't have to see? I kind of want to feel where Warrior fans are right now with D'Angelo Russell, because when it was found out that he was coming back for Durant, I think a lot of people were loving it because Durant,
I loved it.
Didn't go away for nothing.
Right. You got something out of nothing, right? You thought you were going to lose Kevin Durant and 25 to 30 points a game and all those rebounds. And, oh, you get D'Angelo Russell, who has professionally redeemed himself for what happened in Lakerland.
Right.
Like, his maturity, he has matured a lot as a player, and he's still very young. What is he, starting 24?
23.
I forget he left after his freshman year at Ohio State, so he's still very young. And yes, do you want to see him with Steph and Clay? I do. But I also have reservations from what I'm just, it just feels like sometimes he's just going through the motions. And maybe that's the case because he knows this team is not winning. So you know how a guy's not, you know, there's a loose ball somewhere. Am I going to die for it? We're on a 15-win team. I'm going to make a business decision. But if I'm playing for a 60-win team, oh, I'm jumping into the second row of the bleachers. I'm making this hustle play. So I just don't know. It's a tough read. You'd like to see him, though. I think for us, it would be cool to see him, whether you see Clay hitting shooting jumpers yesterday in warm-ups and Steph coming back. Give us 10 games. Give us 10 games.
How about 10 games this year?
10 games this year. 10 games this year. That's what I'm saying.
Then,
10
so
games
Clay, this year. You bring Clay back for 10.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, do you want to give him a full rest? Or if he's ready to go, do you give him 20 minutes tonight just to get his legs back under him to shed off the rest? How do you work? How do you navigate that situation? If Clay's saying, I'm ready to go, let me get 10 games in, shed off the rush, run up and down, play some defense, work out the kinks a little bit, do you take that chance? And if you do, let me see D'Lo, Steph, and Clay kind of play together for 5 to 10 games. Maybe not 10, but maybe 5 to 10 games.
I'm actually more and more leaning toward, I do believe Steph's coming back. Right. I feel like he's coming back. And as for Clay, I think I would like to see him come back for 10 games. And I think the one reason, and I know people out there would be, some people might say no interest in having Clay come back, but both those guys want to play in the Olympics.
Right.
So for Clay, I think get him back for 10, see where he's at. And you know what? Maybe he plays 10 and says, I'm not playing in the Olympics.
Right.
I need another 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of for Clay coming back if he can. Obviously, if there's an injury risk, you don't do it.
Right.
But let's see. Let's go to Dave. Dave's in Napa. How you doing, Dave?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Going well, man.
Hey, so hear me out on this. I was just thinking about this the other day with D'Angelo Russell. So he has a 4-year, was $110 million contract. Would you guys kick this down, you know, kick the tires on a possible trade for, say, Kevin Love? You move D'Angelo to Cleveland, you get Love, the season's a wash. But next year's roster, if you get, say, Wiseman in the draft, you have Curry, Thompson, Green, Love, and a top 3 pick. What do you guys think?
I'm for Kevin Love now because he can play center now along with Draymond.
Can he play that? Can he get down on the block and play some D?
I think he can. He's not the player he was, but I think he's a player that can fit onto any team seamlessly. Like we saw it. He went from averaging 25 a game
right.
to kind of being a role player along with LeBron. But when he had to, he delivered.
Has a friendship.
I thought he delivered.
Yeah, he has a friendship with Klay Thompson. I think in this style, because I think one of the most underrated attributes of Kevin Love is his passing.
No doubt.
He passes very, very well in this system where the Warriors like to get you 300 assists. And what was the passing stat? 317 passes per game. Some crazy stat that the Warriors love, their coaching staff love. So Kevin Love wouldn't be bad. I mean, you have Kevin Love and Draymond and that number one pick, and you know Kevin Love's a championship player.
Right.
So,
good locker room guy,
but defensively, now you got Steph and Kevin Love.
Right.
Like, why would a team not run a pick and roll directed at Steph and Kevin Love? I mean, that could cause problems for your defense, but if it's for D'Lo for Kevin Love, I'd have to think about that one. I mean, Kevin Love seems like he'd be a good fit in this system under Steve Kerr.
We are getting some texts. It's, you know, Kevin Love plays zero defense. I wouldn't say he plays zero defense. I would say he's not a great defender.
Right.
I mean, I know I'm kind of quibbling there, but you still